The web that has no weaver, understanding Chinese medicine, East Asian herbs and adverse events. Safety has been the main focus of the biomedical literature's discussion of Chinese herbs. A serious perception has developed in the biomedical literature that herbs, especially those from East Asia, pose significant risks to patients. This recognition of the potential harm involved with herbal medicine is not new or confined to the West. In fact, the classic texts of East Asia have always understood the potential toxic effects of herbs. China's earliest materia medica, the Shennong Ben Kuo Jin, Pharmacopoeia classic of the Divine Husbandman, says that 125 its herbs have a poison and should not be taken over a long period of time. And another 120 of its herbs also have a poison and must be used carefully. Out of the 365 herbs it describes, only 120 are said to be without poison and can be taken safely for a long period of time. Tao Hongjin, the earliest commentator on the Divine Husbandman, describes the fact that herbs can cause suffering. All major historical and modern Chinese materia medica have extensively discussed toxicity and method to avoid it. The East Asian tradition has always understood that any pharmacodynamic substance implies possible toxicity. Unfortunately, this oriental concern for potential danger has, until very recently, had a tendency to be buried or overlooked in the public or popular discussion of Chinese herbal medicine. This avoidance is undoubtedly partly related to the polemical tug of war that has dominated the conflict between Oriental and biomedicine in Asia and unconventional and conventional medicine in the West. In the rhetoric between the two camps, East Asian and unconventional medicine practitioners have tended to emphasize the potential and genuine dangers of biomedicine and emphasize their own purported safety. Modern Asian and Western alternative medicine have often come to defensively believe, at least in their popular utterances, that nature is uninformedly innocent, wholesome, and benevolent. It seemed that the traditional notion of nature and such forces as wind, damp, and cold as embodying multivalent and complex potential dynamics has been lost. A false expectation has arisen that no injury is possible from natural herbs, which has until recently allowed the Oriental medical profession to neglect its historic responsibility to critically evaluate its work. In the absence of clear self-regulation mechanisms and surveillance systems, it has been biomedical and scientific vigilance that has altered the East Asian medical community of its professional responsibility to monitor and protect the public from potential iatrogenic damage. The discussion below summarizes the main categories of adverse events that have been discussed in the scientific literature. Direct toxic effects. A very few Chinese herbs are dangerously toxic. Their toxicity is an extension of the therapeutic effects. These adverse effects are pharmacologically predictable. Professionally trained herbalists are aware of this toxicity and understand that the use of these herbs is only possible in a very narrow therapeutic window. Most such herbs are very rarely used. In fact, most practitioners would understand that such herbs have become a historical curiosity for situations not applicable in societies where surgery and precise pharmacological methods are available and safer. Herbs such as Datura metal and rhododendron mollis contain scopolamine, hypsicamine, and atropine and have understandably been mentioned as causing adverse effects in Hong Kong. So has cinnabar, which contains mercuric sulfide. This author has never used such herbs and never includes them in his herbal teaching except as historic artifacts, no longer relevant to actual clinical practice. Such herbs are also not generally available in the West. A more important problem has been Aconitum xanthophyllum and Aconitum carmicale. These herbs contain highly toxic alkaloids, including aconitin, which have created serious side effects. The accessory root of aconite is more commonly used in Chinese medicine, is less toxic than the main root, and is always further processed to reduce toxicity. And while it is often unclear which form of aconite is being referred to, there seems to have been reports of adverse events from the milder form of aconite also. Most, if not all, of the reports of toxicity have resulted from East Asian patients self-medicating without proper professional guidance. Toxicity due to dosage extension. Some herbs in the East Asian Materia Medica have toxicity that is a consequence of extension of their therapeutic dosage. For example, Pruni armeniacae has amygdalin and amygdalase, which combine in the digestive tract to produce prosnasis and mandelonitrite, which are further broken down to benzaldehyde and hydrocyanic acid, the latter of which is highly toxic. In low therapeutic dosage, the herb is a cough suppressant, but in very excessive dosage, the effect can be very dangerous. Perilae fruticensis, a common ingredient of Japanese cooking, is another example of this problem. The perilae ketone, derived from its essential oil, in one dosage is valuable for cough, but in another can have serious adverse effects. When dosages are kept within therapeutic range, such dangers are not expected. Licorice root is routinely used in Chinese herbal medicine in small dosages. It contains glycyrrhizic acid and glycyrrhizic acid, which have mineralocorticoid-like actions. Reports of inappropriate usage of this herb, especially when taken in large quantities, with subsequent adverse effects, have been reported in the biomedical literature in both the context of Chinese herbalism and Western herbalism. Many other herbs can become toxic if they are used in incorrect quantities. Idiosyncratic toxicity. Besides predictable adverse effects, Chinese herbal medicines have been associated with rare reactions that could be considered idiosyncratic allergy or hypersensitivity reactions. Even in safe doses with very benign herbs, it's possible to see unexpected developments. A totally safe medicine, just like perfectly safe food, can become dangerous for unusually responsive individuals. There have been associational reports of adverse effects from ginseng, which suggest an estrogen-like effect and a danger with hypertension. There is also one very poorly performed controlled observational study that reported a ginseng abuse syndrome, with a myriad of positive and negative effects
that has affected the biomedical discussion. In rare cases, ginseng seems to be able to cause estrogenic effects, even though it does not actually contain phytoestrogens. Several other problems have been noted in the literature. A number of cases of allergic contact dermatitis have been reported from topically applied Chinese herbs. Also, there are reports of Chinese herbs being taken with the intention of producing adverse side effects, such as deliberate self-poisoning, or to produce peculiar forms of excitement and recreation, such as the incidence of Ephedra scenica, poisoning in teenagers. Hepatotoxic effects. Pharmacological active drugs are first metabolized in the liver. Thus, liver damage is not an altogether unexpected consequence of the use of some medications. Predictably, this problem has been a major finding. Perhaps the most well-known incident of liver toxicity is related to the very impressive clinical trial on skin disease described above. In the follow-up study, two children whose eczema was so well controlled that the therapy was stopped developed elevated liver enzymes, serum aspartate aminotransferase to 7 to 10 times normal values. The damage was reversible, and the liver function tests returned to normal after 8 weeks of cessation of therapy. Subsequently, several patients who received Chinese herbs for skin disease in non-experimental clinical situations have reported hepatitis, though the effects of prior use of such drugs as cyclosporine and azathioprine could not be ruled out. Upwards of 24 other cases have been reported. Most Oriental practitioners have been alerted to the potential danger, and concrete steps have been taken to avoid a reoccurrence. Another troubling report has come from the Hospital for Traditional Chinese Medicine in Southeast Germany near Munich, in which 1,507 consecutive patients treated with traditional Chinese herbs had liver enzymes measured at admission and during the last 3 days before discharge. A more than twofold elevation of alanine aminotransferase was observed in 14 of the patients. Two of the 14 patients had temporary clinical symptoms, a nausea or itching. A causal relationship between the herbs and enzyme elevation seemed possible, although all patients were also on previously prescribed drugs, that is, minocycline, mesalazine, and diclofenac, before their admission and all during their hospital stay. Such medications can also cause liver damage. ALT returned to normal within 8 weeks of discharge. The authors of this study suggested that liver functions should be monitored in patients using Chinese herbs. Again, such reports have altered the Oriental medical profession that herbs have the ability to both benefit and harm, and that extreme vigilance is necessary to reduce adverse effects. Herbs adulterated with Western drugs and camouflaged drugs. Chinese herbal manufacturers in Hong Kong, until recently, were not regulated, and it is unclear whether the regulation in the People's Republic of China and other parts of East Asia are adequately enforced. This has allowed fraudulent and unscrupulous manufacturers to adulterate their products with Western drugs, causing great concern in the biomedical literature, as well as the East Asian practitioner community. A survey of 260 Asian-manufactured patent medicines collected from California retail herbal stores found 17, or 7%, that contained undeclared pharmaceuticals, including ephedrine, chlorpheniramine, methyltestosterone, and phenacetin. The survey confirmed numerous earlier studies that found such drugs as diazepam, phenylbutazone, prednisolone, and hydrocortisone hidden in other Chinese pills. Occasionally, a plant-derived pharmaceutical has been identified as an herbal product to take advantage of popular beliefs that herbal means harmless. No incidents of adulteration or camouflaged drugs have been reported by Chinese herbal products manufactured in the West. Contamination with heavy metals and poor manufacturing practices. Again, the problem arises with herbal products manufactured in Asia. Products manufactured in developing countries lack the standards and quality control expected for medical substances in the West. Even for Western pharmaceutical drugs, only 20% of Chinese manufactured medicines meet the Food and Drug Administration standards for quality control. Reports in the biomedical literature concerning the quality of Chinese herbal products reflect this predicament. Various types of heavy metal contamination, including lead, arsenic, mercury, cadmium, and thallium, have caused serious problems. Only one published report, printed in the Oriental Medical Literature, has found contamination due to microorganisms or pesticides. Interaction with Western drugs. Little reliable information is available concerning Chinese herbs and biomedicine interactions. Clearly, it is possible for herbs to affect the pharmacodynamic and pharmacokinetic effects of Western drugs. Even common foods have this potential. The most serious incident of a Chinese herbal iatrogenic effect reported in the biomedical literature first seems to be due to an interaction between herbs and drugs in a combined drug and herbal products once used in a weight reduction clinic in Belgium. This mixture was prescribed by Western physicians with no training in Chinese medicine. At least 100 women developed interstitial renal fibrosis with terminal or preterminal renal failure. The epidemiology of this tragic incident is still unclear and confusing. One possibility is that a Western drug in the slimming pill cocktail may have made a urine alkaline and increased the half-life of aristolochic acid. Found in Aristolochia fanci, Guangchangi, and increased the slight toxicity that already existed in the herb and drug individually. Another analysis notes that different outcomes between the two practitioners at the single clinic and points a finger at what was called a homemade solution of a serotonin derivative or a serotonin enhancer. This report believed that only the interaction between these serotonin-type drugs and the oral dexfenfluramine prescribed can explain the nature of the lesions and their very high incidence in such a limited population. Further complicating the picture, a subsequent reports of serious nephropathy associated with Chinese herbs containing aristolochic acid. Identification of the exact herb is confusing. Raises the distinct possibility that this tragic event should be classified as a toxicity incident and not a herb-drug interaction. Other incidents of Chinese herbs interacting with drugs and enhancing or reducing the pharmacological effects of either component have also been reported. several cases of severe militarize. Danshen interacting with warfarin and causing profound anticoagulation has been observed. While the exact mechanism of the Salvia-warfarin interaction has not yet been elucidated, it's not totally surprising given the herb's properties of improving microcirculation, causing coronary vasodilation and inhibiting platelet adhesion and aggregation. The important Chinese herb Angelica sinensis, which contains natural coumarin derivatives, has also been reported to interact with warfarin. Ginseng has also been reported to interact with various drugs, but these reports are especially difficult to interpret. Given that future incidents of herb-drug interaction are inevitable, a system of herb vigilance with the active cooperation of East Asian practitioners, other complementary practitioners, biomedical physicians, toxicologists, and government regulatory bodies is clearly needed. Practitioners of East Asian medicine are increasingly aware that only an understanding of a traditional use of herbs is not enough. Practitioners need to anticipate that herbs can interact with potent pharmaceuticals and that Chinese herbalism can never be viewed in isolation. Cross-cultural differences. One potential danger for Chinese herbal medicine's transmission to the West is the fact that, although the herbs have been used for thousands of years in Asia, there may exist cross-cultural differences due to genetic makeup, dietary habits, or environmental conditions that could modify their effects in Western patients. This has been shown to be possible with some important Western pharmaceuticals when used in Asian patients. No publication has appeared reporting such a problem with herbs, but systematic observations of herbal Chinese practices in the West have raised this possibility. Are East Asian herbs safe? It is clear that Chinese herbs, especially when improperly or poorly manufactured, can be harmful. How dangerous are they? Are they relatively safe? Obviously, an answer to such a question is complex. First, it should be said that safety is a judgment. 100% safety never exists. Safety is always relative because chances are that absolutely no foreign substance in some dosage can be introduced into the human body without producing some harm in at least some individuals. For scientific medicine, safety is a judgment given after weighing benefits against risks. From this scientific perspective, the balance is not favorable for Chinese herbal medicine. Chinese herbs have not demonstrated sufficient reproducible efficacy in RCTs, and herbs, however incorrectly used, have definitely been shown in the biomedical literature to be associated with adverse effects. Therefore, the biomedical literature has serious concerns with the safety of Chinese herbs. There is a perception of risk that tends to accept the hazards of routine care, drugs, surgery, diagnostic devices, but becomes extremely fearful and concerned with the dangers of Chinese herbs. Within scientific circles, the index of suspicion towards Chinese herbs is high. This perception of risk can be as influential as any complex mathematical algorithm for determining benefit and risk. For example, people tend to be more concerned with their safety in airplanes than in automobiles, although the risk of being killed in a motor vehicle accident is twice that of an air crash. From the East Asian perspective, the counter-argument is that when used by properly trained practitioners who use herbs and products from reputable distributors who guarantee quality, the herbs are relatively safe, and the benefits have been reasonably documented in a long historical tradition. Additionally, they argue that the Chinese herbs produce less harm than conventional medicine. There seem to be only pieces of direct evidence on the relative risk of Chinese herb treatments as compared to biomedical treatment in the scientific literature. In 1992, a team of scientists prospectively studied all 1,701 patients admitted to two general medical wards at the Prince of Wales Hospital in Hong Kong over an 8-month period. Three patients were admitted for reaction to Chinese herbs, allergy to dates, and licorice, and a third case of undermined origin, while 74 patients were admitted because of adverse reactions to Western drugs. This data looks favorable for Chinese herbs, but the study lacked information on the comparative usage of herbs to drugs, which makes the comparison difficult to interpret. Probably, the debate concerning safety will not be settled for some time. Conclusion. A serious effort to investigate the efficacy of acupuncture has begun in the West. Some of the results have been positive. Adverse events due to acupuncture have been described, but the consensus is that acupuncture is relatively safe. High professional standards can ensure safety. The laboratory investigation of Oriental herb medicine has been extensive. The clinical investigation of herb medicine is beginning. The medical literature has produced evidence of significant adverse events associated with Chinese herb medicine. It is likely that Western consumers will not tolerate such iatrogenic possibilities. East Asian herbalists need to rely on reputable suppliers and inquire about their quality control measures to prevent fraudulent substitutions, adulteration, and contamination. Herbal training needs to be cognizant of potential dangers, including possible herb-drug interactions. Cooperation between Western and Eastern practitioners must be established to ensure that drug surveillance systems attentively monitor herbal medicine safety. In the most general terms, it seems that the Western quantitative, non-nonsense, young assessment of East Asian medicine has contributed to East Asian medicine's acceptance in the West. Besides this legitimacy, the contrasting style of scientific inquiry has contributed to Chinese medicine's own self-awareness, self-identity, and internal reflections. Both sides of East-West dialectic undoubtedly have more to learn from one another. This cooperation needs to expand. Rhetorical debates and conflict over market shares and medical resources need to be avoided. Mutual respect, careful attention to the concerns of the other side, and deep patience needs to underscore all collaboration. Undoubtedly, finding joint agendas will provide both the Eastern and Western approaches opportunities to grow and, most importantly, better serve the needs of patients.